Hey, welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Tom Wyatt. Tommy is a friend of ours from living back in Boston. He's based out of Nashville now. He's a great songwriter. Check it out.
If you like what we're doing, like and subscribe and stuff. You know, once this podcast
takes off, then we're set. Just moolah out the wazoo. Where's moolah even come from?
Never heard.
You never heard of the word moolah?
No, I have. Never heard where it came from.
Google it.
You seem like a moolah guy. I would have been surprised. I love moolah. I fit moolah into one of my songs, and I was like, this is the best line of the song.
Probably.
They're going to be like, they're so fucking high right now. What's going on? All right, let us know when you're ready to roll, and we'll start talking about the serious stuff. No, but really, though, the reason, so we were talking about it, they had this idea for doing the live stuff in the house because they were recording a bunch of Brian stuff, and they were saying, we really want to do that for just, you know, bringing songwriters in and instrumentalists and just recording things. And I was saying that what I would love to do is I would love to have like a podcast for all of the Nashville people that we know just to come in and talk to them, because I love that stuff. Just as a consumer, just as someone who listens to that kind of stuff, I would love to, because there's certain things out there like Otis Gibb. He's got like a YouTube channel where he'll talk to people, but it's kind of like interviewee-ish. I mean, not in a bad way, but he'll ask someone a question, and then it's just like a shot of them like talking to a camera. I'm like, no, like I want to like hear people discuss and actually just hear who these people are. So when we were talking about it, we were saying, okay, what we don't want to do is we don't want to do like an interview show. We just want to hang out with people and just have people come in and like get drunk and get high and just talk about music, or not talk about music, talk about cars, or what, you know what I mean? Like whatever they want to talk about. I just felt like that would be much more fun than sitting here and being like, so what gauge strings do you use? You know what I mean? like that to me just sounds miserable.
So, I mean, if we ever, that's a question I would probably ask someone out of genuine curiosity.
If like Julian Lodge was in here, I'd be like, I'd ask everything, but like, you know what I mean?
Okay, guys,
we're rolling. Okay.
All right.
But no, but seriously, that was the idea. It was like, okay, well, there are moments where those questions are interesting. There are moments where if there's something specific music related that I think, how did you do that? Or how do you get that sound or whatever it might be? That's one thing. But for the most part, just to talk to people and just be like, it's such a weird thing to do with life, to decide you want to make music in any capacity. So just picking people's brains, I think, is the fun part of this. But I don't know. Brian, you got anything witty to say? Pull me out of this hole.
No, that's your job, dude. I'm not even supposed to be here.
That's true. You're just here to look good.
Yeah.
No, but it is wild. So Brian and I met a decade ago now, which is insane. And we probably met not that long after that. It was probably, I'm guessing it had to be Terry O'Reilly's or something like that in Boston, because you were not allowed at Passium.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I wasn't allowed there, but I felt like I wasn't.
I think everyone just sat there with like, it was like we were being punished at school or something. It was very odd. Do you remember I Am Kevin, the comedian who used to go around those places? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh,
that's fantastic. It was all songwriters, and occasionally there'd be comedians. Very sporadically, there, because you never came along to these things with, or very, very infrequently you would
I've
come.
I've been to Club Passim.
Yeah, but we saw Julian Lodge there
like
at some
your
point.
Writer's rounds or something.
Yeah. But back when we lived in Boston, we would go and do the writer's rounds a lot together. And it was always the same 20 people, essentially, I feel like. Probably the same 20, maybe 25 people. And the vast, vast, vast majority of them were all songwriters, but every once in a while you'd have a comedian. And the only comedian I can think of that was consistent, and there were poets too. There were definitely some poets who would get up there, and there were a few that were really good. I can remember none of their names, but I know that there were a few that were good. But there was only one comedian who was consistently there, named I Am Kevin. And it was, I think I was the only person that would ever laugh at that set nonstop, and it was for all of the wrong reasons, but I loved it.
He went by I Am Kevin.
He went by I Am Kevin.
Not just Kevin?
No, I Am Kevin, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But no, like I was saying earlier, I genuinely mean this. every time I hang out with you, I feel like you have a whole new batch of songs you've been working on. And every time I leave hanging out with you, I'm like, God damn it, I need to work on writing more songs. Like, I don't know how, like, what is your routine for doing that? Do you stick to something strict, like a regimen that you stay with, or are you just more haphazard with it?
Well, for half the year this year, I tried to write one song a week.
Really?
But,
is that something does it take you, like, do you have to sit down and, like, bang it out one day, or is it like, slowly working out, like, a verse here a day, or?
Oh, no, I try to write the whole thing, and then.
In one sitting, and then.
By the end of the week, be able to, if I could perform it.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, interesting, okay. Yeah. That's hard. That's really, really, songwriting is such an elusive thing. I mean, music is in general, but I think anything creative where you go from nothing to something, there's an element of just mystery to it that is beyond all of us, I think. That's hard. That's really, really, like, for anyone who hasn't done that before, that's really fucking hard to do.
Yeah. So do you get to a point where you, like, know exactly what you're gonna play, but then you can't play it yet, and then you have to work up to being actually, like, able to perform it? Or do you know what I mean? Like,
usually I just dumb it down so I can play it.
That makes sense.
I think that's the smart thing to do with music in general. Is I have no problems with that because everything I do is dumb. But I think for most people, dumbing it down is usually key.
Honestly, yeah, though, because, like, I mean, I'm a guitar player. I don't write songs. But, like, usually if something isn't going well, it's because it's too complicated, and dumbing it down is usually the move to making it sound better.
For sure.
Yeah, like, if it's too difficult for you to play, it's, like...
It's probably too difficult for you to hear if it's too difficult to play.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
I think that's true a lot of the times, is that it's like there's something that's conflicting, that you're trying to do too much at once.
Yeah. When I do, like, my solo arrangements and stuff, it is a lot of, like, I write out a thing and then I try to work up to being able to perform it. And then I'm like, sound like shit trying to play it. And I'm like, okay, how can I make this easier? So usually I do, like, write out a whole thing and then, like, basically go through and dumb it down wherever I can to where I can actually play it good consistently and make it sound good every time.
Yeah. That in and of itself is a skill that's very difficult to
learn.
I have
a tendency to, like, overcomplicate everything I do too, like, which...
Same.
When did you first start writing songs?
Maybe, like, high school.
Okay. We've never really talked about it. It's funny because for as long as we've known each other, I don't think we've really talked about it, but who got you into it? Like, why did you want to actually start writing songs in the first place? Like, either artists that you really like, or even just, was it just some crazy event that made you think, I need to write a song? Like, what was it?
I don't know. I just had this value that the cool person in the band was the one that could come up with something.
That's a very smart observation for a high schooler
who,
or anyone.
Who were, like, your earliest influences? Like, people who you were, like, listened to and you're like, oh shit, I want to do that.
When I was in high school, probably like Bob Dylan and Neil Young and stuff like that. It was dumb enough that I could play it. So
yeah. There you go. I feel like for a lot of people, that's the age where it gets you. Because before that, I mean, like, I started playing guitar when I was really young. I started taking guitar lessons when I was like 8, probably. I think you started not too long after that. But it's around that high school age where I think, for whatever reason, it gets in your head. Where I don't know what it is, but there's some kind of catalyst around that age. If you do have it in your bones where you just think, okay, this is all I want to do. Like, all the other stuff kind of goes out the window, and you're saying, no, I just want to do this. So, no one gets obsessed with songwriting or playing guitar in, like, their early to mid-20s or, like, you know, as a 7-year-old. It doesn't, it's always, at least I find, it's usually that sweet spot, totally. Like 12, 15, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Same for you?
Yeah, same for me. I didn't start writing probably till I was, like, 15, 16, something like that. But same
I still
kind of
haven't started writing.
There's time, you know.
It's like one of these days.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It's not something I would highly recommend to others. But what? So what does you were saying that you were you were doing that song a week thing for a while. What does, when you're not kind of in that mindset, is there any kind of regimen you stick with, or is it just more you write when you feel like writing?
Yeah, when I feel like I've been too lazy for too long, I get hard on myself and said, well, I got to change this.
Yeah. Do you, so I want to go down the songwriting rabbit hole for a second just because I'm curious, but when you start a song, is it usually melody first? Is it lyric first? I feel weird asking these questions because I know for me on my end, there's no formula to it. Like I can do whatever I can to make a regiment out of it and make it just routine for me. But I know that it's never consistent, whether it's a hook first or whether it's a lyric first or whatever. But for you, do you find generally that it's one or the other? Cause some people I've talked to, like they always write melody first. They always write lyric first. Is it sort of a mixed bag for you?
Yeah, I would say. I'd say historically I've been more inclined to write the music around the like rhyme scheme of, or stick to a rhyme scheme I started, and then I can figure it out.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's what I find I generally do too. That's interesting. Yeah, songwriting is, it's hard because there's no right way to do it. And I think for personality types like ours, and you might be the same way, I don't know. For personality types like ours, it's really hard because I feel like it goes against the way that I am as a person, which is I'm an obsessive person and I want to get I get hyper fixated on skills. Like, okay, I want to get better at this particular thing or this particular thing. Whereas with songwriting, you do that just by clocking in the hours, but there's not like a specific process that you can go through that works every time. It always comes out a little bit different. And the process is always, for me, again, I'm just talking out my ass, but for me, the process itself is always a little bit different, which I think throws me because I'm such an anal person when it comes to the process of things and making sure that I have that routine and that I have that consistency with something.
Feel like the consistency is definitely key.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that's probably true of everything in life.
Do you practice like every day? Do you make it like a point to like, or practice or write? Or
I mean, I just maybe play around.
Just whenever you feel like it? Or
every day, sometimes practice a song. But
yeah, okay.
Yeah, obviously anyone who knows me knows that the most important thing in my life outside of family and friends is Bob Dylan's music to me. and that came around that same age too, probably like 12, 13. But to me, one of the most fun parts of life is opening doors to new music and finding new things that you just didn't. I'll find people, even to this day, I'll find musicians and I'll think, how did I not know this person existed? It could be an organ player, it could be a songwriter, it could be a drummer, whomever. Just it's wild to me how much incredible music there is out there. Were there any big leaps for you? Just as a person, I mean, maybe not, this may not even affect your songwriting, but were there any people out there that you found and you thought, oh my God, this is like just blowing open the door? Like, I feel like for most of us, there are those people you find that kind of make those leaps forward for us creatively.
Yeah, maybe since he just died. Definitely when I first listened to Kris Kristofferson's records, I'm like, why has he got so much depth compared to these other songwriters, at least to me?
Oh, I completely agree. He's a monster songwriter. Yeah, I feel like all of those.
R.I.P.
Yeah, we just lost him today, or I guess last night we found out today. There's certain people. I think this transcends songwriters. All of my favorite artists, whatever medium they're working in, I think the only thing that I found that they have in common is that they're all themselves. They're all very idiosyncratic in their own way. And that to me, I can't even really articulate it, which is probably a bad thing cause we're on a podcast right now. But to me, that's the highest honor I can give anyone who makes anything is to say that you make it sound like you. And that's it's a very deceptively hard thing to do in anything. But I feel like Kristofferson is certainly someone who deserves that praise. I mean, he's Christopherson song sounds like him. Like it has that, it has his voice. Do you feel like you found your voice creatively with your songwriting, or do you feel like you're still searching for it?
Well, sometimes I get in a groove, but it has to continue changing or else you're in a rut.
I feel the same way. I feel like I'm closer now than I have been, but it's always moving. The goalposts are always moving. But I think that's the way you want it to be. I think otherwise you just get static and you just
I still feel lazy. Never really found, like, I've never really like been in a place where I'm like, okay, oh, this is like what I do, like as a musician. You know what I mean? Like, call it kind of always just like bounced around, like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. And then I get into like a new phase and like, now I'm going to do this thing. And then like, I'm still looking, you know what I mean? It's hard to find that.
Yeah. That's the fun part. I mean, otherwise we'd all just quit. We'd pack it up. We'd say, okay, we're done. Nice going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to, good outlook to have. Yeah. So so Christopherson's up there. Is there anyone else that you heard as a kid that you thought, I want to do that? Because for me, I have those people where I think I heard them and I think, oh, whatever that is, not like I want to write like this person or I want to sing like this person, but like, oh, like I didn't realize you could do that. Like, were there other people that you found that you felt that way about? Or it could even just be stuff outside of music too.
Just last week, I saw this girl named Anna Tivell. That was mind blown. I was like, this is the greatest songwriter I've ever seen. I didn't know you could write a song that's like that. And so now that's what I'm on. So
that's awesome.
That's the only thing that else comes
to
mind.
To me, it's one of the best parts of life is when you find new music, or again, new anything that just blows your mind. I think it's the best feeling in the world.
I feel like as I get older, though, it starts to get harder to find that. Like, it only comes around so often, you know?
Yeah, oh, for sure. But when it does, you're so appreciative of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I, so our buddy Zach, he showed me this guy. I was asking, this was a little while ago, last year at some point. I was putting out some new music. And you needed to, like, you know, whenever you're getting ready for a new release of something, we were putting out a single and you need write-ups for the single. And you also need, for a lot of stuff, what's good for promotion is having like, this stuff sounds like this artist or it's in the vein of this. And I'm so bad with that. Like, I'm so bad with sort of self-analyzing my own work and coming up with maybe things that are similar. And so I was asking some friends, I was like, hey, what kind of, like, what songwriters or musicians, like, does my stuff remind you of? And Zach said, Dan Reeder. And I had no idea who this person was. I was like, Dan Reeder. And I looked him up, and it was, I am in love with this guy. So I actually, my dad was in town this past weekend, and we went to go see him play because he's out of the country. Like, he doesn't live in the States. And he was coming to Nashville to play. So months ago, we got tickets, and he came out just to see the show with me. And it was so good. His songwriting is just unbelievably good.
Did you end up asking him to do this?
Yeah, I did. I talked to him a little bit afterwards just to get a feel for it. And he was saying that they were leaving that night at like 3 a.m.
Oh, damn.
Which was, yeah. So they had him on very the next busy. One. Yeah. But I love that feeling. I love finding, like, how did I not know this person existed? It's the best feeling in the world. And then it's just, and then you find someone who you're essentially discovering someone's entire life. Like, I just didn't know that this was a thing. Yeah. So when did you start playing guitar then?
I don't know. Maybe like 10, 12.
Did the guitar playing come first for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember I was taking guitar lessons for a little bit and then I broke my arm, so I couldn't play guitar anymore. So I gave it up. Because I fell out of the routine. I was like 12.
Okay.
So I wasn't good at enforcing a routine on myself to begin with.
Most 12-year-olds aren't. What made you pick it back up?
I don't know. I was just like, it seems like a skill that I think is worth to have.
Yeah. At that point, did you have anything else you wanted to do in life?
No. I was like 14 years old.
At that point, did it become all encompassing, or was it just one more thing you were doing, like playing baseball or something? You know,
I would say it was bad in a way because of that.
How so?
Like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Neglecting things that I should have been learning at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
I was the exact same way.
Me too. I did nothing else. I still am neglecting things I should be doing because, yeah. No, that's definitely exactly how my high school years went. The grades definitely suffered because of the guitar.
Yeah. So where were you born?
I was born in Cumberland, Maryland, right on the West Virginia border. Well, it's the biggest city in, like, a pretty wide radius.
But then after that, did you have any ideas of what you wanted to do? Did you want to go anywhere? Did you want to stay there? Once music came into the equation, how did that change that?
At first, I would venture around playing gigs, and at some point I realized that I would have to travel somewhere farther to be able to get better gigs.
Yeah, I feel like that's the way all of us feel. We think, okay, well,
it's probably why half the people in Nashville are here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So did you go straight to Boston from there?
Mm-hmm.
What brought you out of Boston?
It was too expensive. I couldn't afford it. I was too broke.
No, what brought you into Boston?
Oh, my girlfriend at the time, Kate.
So you met her in Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, and she was like going to school out there or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then you both thought, we're going to Boston, let's do it?
Yeah, pretty much. I had to go somewhere. I was like, the Appalachian region, there was no jobs really. You could at best make like 10 bucks an hour.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you going to school out there in Boston, or just working and...
Yeah, what were you doing? I all this time that we were out there together, I didn't even, what were you doing during the days?
I was like drinking and I had a bunch of random jobs up there.
Yeah.
Like side jobs here and there and
mm-hmm. play gigs. Yeah,
it was crazy expensive. Dude, I think about the apartment that we lived in on Westland. I think it was $2,600 a month. And that was 2016. I can't even imagine what that place costs now.
It was also because I don't think Tommy ever stepped foot in that apartment. It was also the grossest apartment in all of mankind.
Dude, like, yeah, when you hear $2,600 a month, you think like, a nice.
No, it was a, yes.
Dude, basically like a couple closets, like conjoined by a hallway the size of a closet, paying $2,600 for that. I can't even imagine what that... I bet it's like $4,000 now or something. Because that was before the cost of housing shot up like crazy. Oh, like all over the country.
So what part of town did you live in Boston?
I lived in Alston.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you a funny story. When I first moved there, I had two roommates. One bedroom apartment split like they do in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it was five people living in this one bedroom apartment.
In a one-bedroom?
A one-bedroom split.
So did you guys just have, like, a bunch of couches in there, or what?
There was a guy who lived in, like, the...
Mattresses on the floor?
There was three people lived in the one room. Two in the room I lived. But, you know, like, the apartments there, the living room is a bedroom. There's no living room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's how mine was, too.
And then one guy on the couch.
Wow. So you were out there.
How much were you paying for rent in that situation?
It's like, how much did I pay total myself?
Yeah, like just you.
I paid like $300 then.
Yeah, see, that's pretty good.
It wasn't worth it.
I was paying for something not that much
Tommy's
better.
Like, I was sleeping in this much space with five other people.
It was bad.
That's funny.
It was not good living conditions.
You can't do that for that long. Like, that's not a sustainable way to live.
Yeah, no, and the one guy I lived with, like, was a communist.
We had a lot of those in Boston.
He wore a kilt. He was an interesting guy. He was an idiosyncratic guy.
So you started playing, because what year did you move out there then? Because we got out there in 2014.
No, I got there in 2017.
2017, okay.
I only lived there like 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we met, I think, around 2017. So it was a little bit afterwards. How did you get into that whole open mic scene out there? Because again, it was relatively insular. Like it was a lot of regulars. Like we had, these names are going to mean nothing to anyone listening probably, but there was a guy named George Woods and he ran, an open mic over at 6B Lounge, that had the same crew of people that would kind of rotate around. So then there was another spot called Terry O'Reilly's where two guys, would run an open mic over there. That was the most fun open mic in town. Terry's was the absolute fucking best. It was a ball. But it was really this group of probably 20, 25 people that would just sort of rotate throughout the week. And we just kind of hit all the different open mic spots. And there were some really great songwriters in there. Like one to this day, one of my, Zeke Duckworthy, who we were talking about earlier, he was in that group. He was a very, very interesting guy. And then my buddy Danny Pepper, who to this day is one of the, I just saw Danny this past month. He came out to visit, it was the first time I'd seen him in like 6 years. And to this day, I think he's just one of the best songwriters I've ever heard in my life.
He is.
There were so many great, between you, him, Zeke, Terrence was great. One of the guys who ran the,
Terrence Reeves.
Oh. And then Andrew Giano was the other fellow who ran that. Andrew, I think, is a phenomenal songwriter. Like Andrew is one of the best songwriters I've probably ever heard. He's so good. But it was just shockingly good. Cause I also feel like then there was like the Berkeley bubble where, not to put that down, but it all kind of sounded the same in terms of the songwriting and the songwriting stuff sounded like you could pick it out very quick. Like, oh, that's what I'm listening to right now. But that group of people was so distinct. It was like, everyone had a really clear voice. And like when you showed up to that, I feel like everyone felt the same way about you. They felt, here's a guy who doesn't sound like a lot of the other stuff that's happening. Like, did you get a feel for that when you showed up, that one, people liked what you were doing, but two, that everyone had a voice in that way?
What do you mean by that exactly?
Like, do you feel the same way I did that group of people was the caliber that I think they are? Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked all the people there. Like, I especially liked the Cantab.
Yeah.
Open mics where you get the old folk scene remnants. There was always great lyrics and old structures of the songs that I didn't hear anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of great songwriters and artists there.
Yeah, because then you also had the Passim group. Hey, kitty. You also had the Passim group that was
it's her dinner time.
For anyone listening, Kitty just ran across the table. It was clawing at me. Yeah, then there was also the Passim group, which was a great room to play, but it was a little stuffier. You know, it was less rowdy, it was a little more stuffy. It was still fun, but it was interesting when that group of people would get in there. It always felt like the walls were a little too small for everyone. You know what I mean? Like everyone was like, okay, enough of the hoity-toity stuff.
What's your thoughts on the scene here in Nashville? Overall view, positive or negative?
I mean,
I suppose positive. It's like hard to say it's not positive in comparison to a lot of other like smaller towns, but you know what I mean.
Good. I mean, there's lots of talented people.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. And you can probably go see a great band every single night to have your mind blown.
True. Yeah. Sometimes, like, what the opposite of what you're saying about this songwriter rounds in Boston, sometimes I feel like kind of the opposite, where everyone is, like, trying to sound like the exact same thing.
Mm. Well, I feel like here it's different because there's such a commercial element to... There's so much commercial potential here.
Yeah.
That... that was good. There's so much commercial potential here. It forces people, or a lot of people feel forced to try to
appeal.
Right in that. Yeah, right in that style. And it kind of, it quickly pigeonholes writers if you're not careful. Whereas Boston, because there wasn't, I mean, there was nothing to work towards there.
Yeah.
Everyone just sort of, okay, this is what I'm doing. I that's interesting. Like, yeah, there really is. Like, there's a bar down the street from where I do jiu-jitsu that I walk past, like, I don't know how many times a week. And every time there's another just killer band there, just ripping it. And I'll just stand there and be like, never seen any of these. Like, none of the people in this band, I don't know any of them. I have no idea why. Just destroying. And I think this is really fucking cool that I live in a city that does this.
Yeah, I mean, it could be bad if you have any doubts about your skill level.
Totally. And I feel like you really notice it when you, like, go to other towns and you're like, oh, this bar has a live band. And you hear the live band and it's like, not very good. You know, it's like you kind of get used to just, like, hearing good bands everywhere you go in Nashville. And
I think I'd rather
you forget that it's not like that in other cities. Like, you... a lot of cities have hardly any live music, and then when you do see it, it's not very good.
But yeah, here I think it's... I would rather be a little fish in a big pond. You know, I'd rather be with all those killers who...
It's motivating, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely lights a fire under your butt. So you started writing 15-ish, somewhere around there. This is always... I think this is a hard question to answer, maybe, but I'm really fascinated by this. Was there a time, maybe it hasn't come yet, was there a time where you felt for the first time, that's a good song that I wrote? Oh, do you remember that? Where you think, oh, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
You still play that one?
Well.
Do you hang on to, like, songs you wrote a long time ago? Or, like, because shit, I feel like I forget things that I used to play, like, so fast. Like,
oh, I'm the same way.
Like, shit, the songs I was playing last year, like, I don't remember how to play any of those.
I'm the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I feel like is not good, losing a lot of...
What also means you got other... You're putting other things there.
You try to hang on to them, or, like...
No, it's not good for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to have them in the bag, though.
Oh, yeah. It's good to be able to be like, yeah, I got that if I need it.
Yeah.
So do you remember the first good one?
That's still in the bag?
Well, I might have thought it was good at the time.
Yeah. Well, we think all of them are good at the time, but we don't bother finishing them. Yeah. There's a lot of them I should have just not bothered finishing, but alas.
Now, I would say that I hit my stride, like, the last couple of years I've started writing stuff. I'm like, well, I don't think anyone would tell me, well, you suck. After they heard this one, they'd be like, well, all right, you're all right. I mean,
so I think you said earlier you have your new album by the end of the year, or?
I got songs I want to record for an album.
Nice.
Or at least 10 good ones.
Yeah, because you've got, what do you have out there right now? You've got an album out there with, like, a full band out on.
Yeah, from a long, long
from
time
a while ago.
It was
like
19 or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of those songs are very good.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way about the stuff I did last night. I feel the same way about stuff I did, you know, last year.
Yeah, same.
So you want to record all that stuff then? Put it out?
Mm-hmm. I think it's time. After, at some point, it's going to have to happen.
Yeah. It's probably a healthy mindset. Do you want another drink, man?
I'm good.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you. I'm all set. I'm good, though. I feel like it reveals itself quite naturally.
It's hard to put out an album, though. Like, getting, like... For me, it's always completing things. Like, I can write something, but, like, making it a start-to-finish thing. Like, I'll write, like, an awesome A section. To write the B and then, like, the ending and then, like, the bridge and then, like, how do I open it up? What's the intro? Like, making the complete thing is, like, I never end up even finished. I have tons of, like, half-written tunes that are, like, could be something good. I can just never finish stuff. That's kind of my problem with composing.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. There's this one book I read called Art and Fear that talks about that. Like, that it's better to just finish it, whether it's like, not perfect. Like,
you like just force it out to make it, like, whether it's good or not, just like
be done with it and start the next one.
I feel like that's my problem, is because I'm always trying to make each part perfect, and then like, oh, I can't think of the perfect thing, and then like, that probably is the way to go. It's just force something out, even if it's not good, and then like,
yeah, and then once you got 10 of those, eventually the next one you write, you have put all the good stuff you were trying to do together in the one.
Yeah, I haven't really like tried to write anything for a long time. I think probably like a few years ago, like I probably just kind of stopped doing it, but I want to get an album out there eventually. I'll probably try to get back into it.
Yeah. I think everybody gets into that type of thinking though.
Into a slump?
Not even a slump. Like trying to get one thing perfect is really, really...
That's my problem.
I can't get anything perfect.
Yeah, no one can, though. Yeah. It's like you're always chasing that, but it's just understanding that, okay, well, on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been trying to do that, too, with the videos that we film, because, like, if it were me, like, I will just do, like, 500 takes until... And, like, I'm never going to get the one that in my brain is, like, the perfect one.
I will lose
my mind trying to. So, like, eventually, like, if there's one that's, like, good enough, I just force myself to be, like, okay,
Brian,
we're done.
You've recorded enough albums with me to know I do not have that problem. Yeah. Like, all right, that's the one we're using. But, really?
Like, I also think there is some benefit to, like, really trying to get it perfect, but then, you know, I feel like you need a balance of both.
Yeah, sure. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a happy medium in there somewhere.
Do you guys have anyone, like, who you used to listen to that now you're like, I can't believe I listened
Bon Jovi
to
Bon Jovi? No, John Bon Jovi, if you're listening, you're welcome anytime.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure.
Shit, like for stuff sure. in your taste, like your past taste that just did not age well. And you're like,
that's what, yeah. I mean, for me, I found that most of everything I listened to from like 12 to 20, no, from probably like, you know, 12 to 16, 17 doesn't hold up, or at least it doesn't hold up in the way that I thought it did. The stuff that does hold up though is far, far, far better than I thought it was.
Yeah,
like, to me, that's what's so fast. Like, totally. The vast majority of the stuff, almost all of it, beyond very few exception, is not what I thought it was. The people who I go back to at that I listened to at that time, whether it's CCR or whether it's Tom Petty or others, they're so much better than I thought they were.
Yeah.
Just like scary better than I thought they were.
You get like older and you kind of see it in like a new light.
Yeah.
From when this just happened to me recently because we were driving back from Asheville and we put on Wish You Were Here. It's fucking ridiculous how good that album is. It, like, I've heard it a thousand times.
That's one of your favorite albums, yeah.
When I was younger, and then I listened to it like for the first time in like at least like 10 years or so. Shit blew my mind. It's crazy how good that album is. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, what didn't age well. I feel like I was super into the shred guitar stuff. I feel now I listen to that and not my thing.
Yeah, to me, I was never interested in technical music for the most part. It was really always about the songs, but some of it just wasn't. You just have different tastes when you're 15 than when you're a little bit older, but. Yeah, a lot of it, most of it doesn't hold up the way you thought it was. But I guess that's life. What about you?
What doesn't hold up?
No. Or like, what's changed? Like, if now if you had to think of those people, how would that be different? The people that you love?
I'm more inclined to think of the person like whether the artist over time continued to be a great artist, or they just had like a separating all the marketing and social proof that the person had and trying to look at what did they actually make? What is it without all these preconceived notions of what it should be? Yeah. And sometimes when you do that, you're like, wow, they're even better than I thought they were.
Yeah. There's certain people that are just scary in that capacity to just keep changing and keep keep pushing through even when something's working. And just saying, okay, that works now, but it's not going to work tomorrow. So what's going to work tomorrow? It's such a scary thing to do, because we're so inclined to just sit with whatever's working. And I feel the same way. It's like I have to just say, it's working right now. Okay, don't get comfortable with it. Just know that
it's got to evolve.
Yeah, you have to.
Right.
And I think there's certain people don't do that.
What's any future upcoming, like, what are you trying to do? What's the end goal for you? Like, album right now? And then, then what?
Underwear model, obviously.
No.
Are you trying to, like, gig more albums?
I just...
Imagine everything you want out of, like, career-wise, your music, like, it all works out for you exactly how you want. What's that look like?
Some people will show up to hear me play the songs and like them. I won't have to deal with any people that don't get what I'm trying to do. And then I can go back and live in the woods. And
that's why we've read books along all this time.
That's the dream, is just be able to live in the woods and then come out to play a show whenever you need money to fund your wood life.
But yeah, you don't need money, really. Yeah. Not nearly as much as we need here.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Yeah.
Brian knows this. I feel the exact same way. But the thing that I find interesting about it is that there, and what I'm curious about from your perspective is why is that? Why do you feel like you need, or why do you desire to have someone there listening? Because I feel the same way, and I couldn't tell you why.
Well, when I say that, all I'm saying is if we're going to talk about a career,
yeah.
But in the end, I'm happy to just write songs because I'm getting better at it.
I feel the exact same way.
The same. Honestly, as long as I'm like stoked on what I'm doing, like that's that other people wanting to hear it, that's like almost purely just out of necessity in order to make a living doing it. But like if like you take money off the table, I feel like I don't really care if anyone, of course it's nice if they do, you know, but like.
I feel the same way.
Right.
I feel for me, it's more important to be proud of what I'm doing.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
A woods life. There you go.
I don't know. I don't think I could live out in the woods.
No?
What would you guys do out there?
Chop wood, read.
You really want to chop wood all day?
Write songs.
Yeah, write songs. It's really just an excuse to have more time to songwrite. That's really what it is.
Because a lot of people say that, like, oh, I just want to move out to the middle of nowhere, but it's like, I don't know.
I mean, when I say that, it's like...
So it's just the quiet you like?
I've lived outside of the culture I'm accustomed to for so long.
Yeah.
That it's like more stressful than if I lived in the woods. Going back to
like... I could see that.
Right.
How do you feel like living in this kind of environment has changed you?
I'm more lazy now.
Really? I feel like I'd feel more lazy in like a more slow pace setting, you know?
Well, like.
Whereas if you're in like a more fast paced city, I feel like you kind of match the pace.
When I say lazy, I mean like, I will complain. I got to drive 10 minutes to go to the store. When I used to maybe drive 35 minutes to go to the store. Or like today, I need a car part. So I called an Uber and took me to the parts store to get the part. Whereas before, I'd have to have been waiting all day. Man, can you come get me and take me to the parts store so I can get my car running? I need to get 30 minutes away to get to the parts store. Yeah. And I could have maybe rode my bike today, but I didn't.
I know what you mean. Yeah. What's something recently you've written that you feel really proud of?
That Alabama Breeze song.
That's a really beautiful song.
What was that third one you played?
All This Past and Time. I'm happy with that one too.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. When did you write that? Is that recent?
Oh yeah, maybe June, July or something.
Nice.
Do you feel like you get new batch of songs and the other ones kind of fall by the way? Or do you feel like you kind of hold on to things?
I forget some songs that I think, and then I'll remember them and realize, why wasn't I paying attention to that song? It's probably better than all them other ones I've been playing.
Mm.
But
yeah, I have a few that I go back to and that I can kind of meditate on and think, oh no, this is better than I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
No? Oh, okay. We were hoping to get you drunk tonight. That's why. No. we're just gonna get everyone really, really messed up on this podcast. That's what we're gonna do.
That would I'm sure that's bound to happen sooner or later.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Yeah. We're I was telling Brian, maybe I'm gonna start drinking again and just go off the rails every Sunday.
You could have like an episode all about like breaking your sobriety.
There you go. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll exclusively drink on Sundays from like, you know, 5 to 11. That's what we'll do.
This sounds like something a guy who shouldn't drink would think up.
This podcast is really just a long game to make this happen, guys. No, I swear it's okay. It's totally acceptable if I do this. It's for the promotion and for the memes, you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah. You got to sacrifice yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's, yeah. We don't have any goats or virgins or, you know, babies to sacrifice. So I've got to sacrifice my sobriety. That's my cross to bear. I'm okay.
You never drink anymore, Tom?
I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. I'm like 98% sober. I'll have like a beer here and there on occasion, but shit's, feel like you just start to feel it a little too much when you get older. Yeah,
there's a lot of us musicians are
the kind of the pros kind of subside and the cons start to show themselves a little more.
Yeah,
I keep my clothes on when I'm not drinking too. That always helps.
Yeah, and only say like 9/10 of the dumb things that I would say when I'm sober.
There you go. That's good. Hey, it's that last tenth that'll really get you.
Yeah, the ones that really ruin things.
those are the things that aren't fun at parties. Like I said, yeah, hey, I can still get down at a wedding. You know, as long as I can get down at the wedding dance floor, I'm good. That's kind of my mark, you know.
That is, see me. I'm not going to dance at a wedding.
You're not going to dance at a wedding? Oh, that's when it gets crazy for me. Tie comes off. We're going wild. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tied around like Rambo. Let's go.
It's not my thing.
No.
She's a good dancer.
There you go.
Tries to get me to, but I haven't given in yet.
I bet you can do it. I have a feeling you could really bust a move on the dance floor.
There's been a few times where I've made like a little bit of an effort and I just felt so stupid the whole time. And
see, but that's why I dance at weddings, is because I look fucking dumb. Like, I'm not going to...
Did you get married or...
Yeah, maybe.
Did you have a wedding?
Yeah, kind of.
You didn't dance at it?
No.
Did anybody dance at it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's the way God wants it. Let's be honest. No dancing. Yeah, we need a serious business here.
Some Puritan.
Yeah, we're talking about fucking holy matrimony. Nobody's getting saucy on the dance floor. We're keeping it real. That's the way to do it.
What do you mean when you say kind of? It was just like a.
I don't know. Wow.
what happened?
Nothing really.
Just like a small wedding?
Yeah, it's small enough.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even have one. So.
well, you know, I understand.
One day,
yeah. Maybe I'll get an invite.
Weddings are expensive, dude.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Are you going to ever have a big thing or no?
It's probably not the right thing for me.
No.
No.
Brian is just, that's his awkward way of asking, am I invited to your wedding? That's really
you would be if I had one, though.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. All right.
There you go. You're welcome, Brian. You're welcome. I don't know why you want to come. You don't tear it up on the dance floor. What's the point? Man.
But that's one of the things I think about all the time that if we do have a wedding, like I would be obligated to dance. Like you can't not dance at your own wedding.
Oh yeah.
But and the thought of that is like, I don't want to do it.
But the thought of you dancing in any situation to me is just one, quite funny, but two,
I know, because I look like a fucking idiot.
I think you could really, you have the rhythm. You could do it. If you put the time in, you could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't
really could dance some salsa.
He doesn't even really have to put the time in. He could just try and see what happens. We'll take a video. That's it.
That's true. Also, I feel like if it's your wedding, no one's going to make fun of you.
I think I danced like a little bit at Kushal and Audrey's wedding, but I was like wasted drunk, so that really helps.
Yeah, I got down on that dance floor. We were messing around.
Yeah, maybe a little too much, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, what do you think? Should we wrap it?
Oh, man, if we have to. No, I mean, gotta say, Tommy, I really, really appreciate you doing this. Like, this is awesome. The songs were fantastic. Like, those are, again, I'm just going to say this for what feels like the 15th time tonight. One, I'm always blown away by your songwriting. But two, I'm always just blown away by the amount of material that you generate to me is just staggering. Because I work my ass off to try and write songs. And you have so many great fucking songs. Like that is very, very impressive. And I think people who don't do that don't understand how impressive that is. Because that's a really hard thing to do. Thank you very, very much for coming and playing.
Yeah, I want to hear that Thanks album. Words. Get that album out, dude.
All right. I'll try.
Yeah. Let us know. We can always come back and we'll, you know, we'll get it out there for you. We'll yell to people in microphones.
You can come back when we have hundreds of thousands of viewers and come promote it.
There you go. Perfect.
Sounds good. That's a good deal.
We'll have it in no time.
You know what I thought, you guys? You called me on the phone. I was outside.
Yeah.
What
did you think?
They said, Brian and KC called you. What do you think they want? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to go back in and call them. I thought, I bet they want to play cards.
Well, we can always play cards later. It's like, well, you know, he knows who we are at heart. We're just degenerate gamblers at heart. Well, thank you, Tommy. We really, really appreciate it.
Yep.
See you, everybody. Dude. Good night.
Well,
that was awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yep,
that was a ton of fun. Oh, my God, my God.